Hey there, guys and ghouls.
You're tuned in to Broadcast from the Belfry, a brand new podcast for the morbidly curious.
Do we have a pun this episode?
Oh, definitely not.
All right. Well, that's because this
This whole episode is a joke.
Yeah, whole episode's a joke, but it's also to die for. I asked what we were talking about a little bit, so I have a little bit of a precursor today. So, there you go. My name's Sanjay. Yeah, and sitting across from me on this floor...
Uncharacteristically unprepared.
Yeah, very unprepared. It's like she's turning into me. Is boy George. What are we talking about today?
The episode that we were going to record did not. I wasn't feeling it. So I just Googled some shit and we're going to read it.
Solid. That's what I do in my free time anyway.
This article we're starting with is from the Matador Network, which is a cool website, by the way. It's called 10 Extraordinary Burial Ceremonies from Around the World.
Cool. What's number 7?
They're not numbered. Hold on.
Oh, then what's the first one?
2? Nope.
I don't care.
3, 4, 5, 6, or 7 be lame. Predator burial in the Maasai tribe.
Metal. All right. Tell me some words about this. I'm excited already. So is Luna. She just did 2 big jumps. Wow. It's 2 more than she normally does in a day.
She really wants her food. I think she's figured out that it's in the closet.
Oh, that makes sense.
She's or she just wants to get in the laundry basket. Did she feel a bug? You got that. I saw a bug face on. Look at your eyes. The Maasai tribe, I think are fairly well known to some people.
I have no idea who they are.
They're a nomadic tribe for the most part in East Africa. And they're pretty monotheistic, but I don't really know much about their religion. Or at least their spirituality, whatever you want to call it. So, it's very... I don't know, it's easy to call it a primitive culture, which is not a term that anthropologists like to use, because that doesn't really mean anything.
And it's rude.
And it's rude.
Like, if you're at Home Depot and someone's like, oh, you're trying to build a deck? Primitive. It's like, that's mean. Ouch. Yeah, right? It doesn't feel good.
This says that actual burial is reserved for chiefs as a sign of respect, while the common people are simply left outdoors for predators to dispose of, which is pretty common among a lot of non-Western cultures. The Maasai... believe that the dead bodies are harmful to the earth and that there is no afterlife.
Yeah, it's like kind of true too. And like,
to them, when you are dead, you are simply gone.
So everyone's just like ready to die. Like more so than normal. Because their existence, to quote Mr. Meeseeks, existence is pain, but pain for like the world.
Existence is pain, Jerry!
Yeah, so they're just like, oh, what if we just all died? This sounds like a very drink the Kool-Aid-esque or drink the fresh
aid-esque.
Like, culture.
It's interesting, though, because think about how our Western funerary practices are super harmful to the earth.
I mean, yeah, we just put each other in boxes, shove our caskets full of packing peanuts.
Rare, expensive wood, tons of metal and hardware. Let's not even talk about the formaldehyde and other chemicals that we pump into our dead loved ones before they go in the ground.
Yeah, but I want to look nice when I die.
And then half the time you have all, your polyester suits and shit, and then you have your concrete encasing. In a lot of cemeteries, they will pour concrete around the casket before they cover it back up. That's super bad.
It could be worse, though.
I wrote a whole paper about this for my environmental ethics class, so... Which you, one time, on...
Don't remember this.
Recording.
Don't remember it.
Made fun of me for.
Don't remember that happening.
When you were helping me move stuff,
nope.
You took my environmental ethics textbook to read.
I don't think that happened.
Yep. So I'm calling you out for that.
Does not sound accurate. Yep.
Well, I mean, I'm still not really sure that you can read, but...
I also don't know if I can read, honestly. I'm hoping that my entire...
Barbara, get at us.
Yeah. I'm hoping my entire life is like that scene in Drumline where they... Or I guess the entire movie Drumline where, like, he's in college and he's, like, one of the best drummers. And then someone's like, okay, now, like, play the sheet music. And he's like, nah, man, I don't feel like it. And they're like, it's your job.
I forgot that existed.
I literally make this reference once a week. And then everyone's like, holy shit, he can't be that good and not be able to read sheet music. And then he is. He's just that good. I'm hoping that I've gotten by my whole life thinking I knew how to read, but not really.
Not really.
And then one day someone's gonna be like, read this the right way, and I'm just gonna poop my pants.
They're gonna be like, that's Sanjay, it. Go get the autumn squash soup, and you're gonna be like...
Like, yeah. That's easy to tell, though, because it's the one that's not chunky like the summer corn chowder, which is butts.
I did not get that one today.
Good.
We just had this discussion, but we should have started this episode with the fact that I had soup today and that I needed to talk about it, because we talk about soup almost every episode.
Soupcast 2019.
I did get soup today from Panera with a grilled cheese, and it's the only thing I've eaten today, which is a terrible choice, but
yep.
I was pretty happy with it at the time. One of my sales managers today was like, I haven't listened to your podcast yet, but I'm running a 5K this weekend. If I listen to it, will it make me run faster? And I was like, well, yeah, if you're scared of idiots talking.
Yeah, pretty much,
for
yeah.
45 minutes.
Or if you want to get away from bad conversation, then this is a good way to do it.
Let's
or like
go.
Run to find something that sounds better and more articulate. Then, boy, do we have a podcast for you. Thank you for everyone that's been listening for the last, I don't know, 6 episodes. This is episode 7,
this
I think.
Is episode 7.
Yeah, wow. This has been broadcast from the Belfry. Yikes. Thank you for listening to 7 episodes of Broadcast from the Belfry. Tune in next week when we talk about
something
else.
Much better than what we're talking about now.
But really, we're not going to just stop. That doesn't make sense.
Shout out to Jamie, who gave us a 5-star review on iTunes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jamie.
Yeah. She's super cool.
I'll send you a sick high five.
Sick high five.
Make sure
you give it to her at work tomorrow.
No, I'm going to mail it.
Okay.
So make sure you're like careful when you open the envelope. Otherwise, that bad boy's going to knock your glasses off. If you don't have glasses, it'll knock the sight right out of your eyes, and you'll need glasses, whoa, let me tell you.
All right, pick another number.
3. Funeral practice number 3. Choose 3, my lord. 3.
5. 4.
Solid Trek reference. 3. For everyone that wanted to know what that was from.
Oh, pit burials in the Pacific Northwest, the Haida people. Before I even go down here, I'm going to say that I'm familiar, I think Haida is actually how it's pronounced. I don't really know. My only frame of reference is from the 4th ever episode of Bones, which is the one where she goes to Washington because there's a human hand found inside of a bear when they're doing an autopsy on a bear, which is actually called a necropsy, because an autopsy on an animal is called a necropsy, fun fact.
Interesting.
Which a lot of people probably have learned from watching that episode. One of the hikers who disappeared, whose body part is found within the bear, has a Haida sun motif tattoo. That also is an episode about cannibalism, and that's probably the only time a lot of people in the world we'll ever hear about prions, which is what we talked about 2 episodes ago.
Exactly.
Hey!
The 4.5 people that listen to this podcast know more about prions than 98%
it's
of
true.
The human population, so.
Prions are my favorite part of microbiology.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, I have to burp. Hold on.
Gross. Did I tell you about that time I fell into a hole and thought I died?
No.
Have I not talked about this?
No, but okay. We're going to talk about pit burials.
Yeah,
so
no,
continue.
That's right. Okay, so this is a spicy little precursor to pit burials. So I was walking to buy some cinnamon rolls from some Mennonites a couple years ago with two
this
of my friends.
Weird, but okay.
And we're like just walking through this like lawn, like having a nice conversation, going to the door. And I can only imagine what they saw, because I was just walking. And then it was dark, and I was like, what in tarnation?
There she goes.
Yep, Luna jumped in the laundry bin.
She's in a pit, too.
And I'm 6'1", and I was, like, completely underground. Like, apparently they had, like, a terrible storm cover on this hole that I didn't see because I was looking at one of my friends while I was talking. So when I stepped on it, it flipped, and I just fell, like, 6.5-7 feet straight down.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, it was real weird. I thought I was gonna die, but, like, maybe I did. I don't know.
I got stuck in a bathroom at work yesterday, and I started to panic just a little bit because I thought I was gonna be, like, stuck in there.
Nice.
I came back from lunch, and I shut the door, you know, because I was in the bathroom. And then when I went to open it again, like, the lock unpopped, and the handle was, like, all the way down. But I was pulling it, and nothing was happening.
Mm-hmm.
So then I freaked out because I thought I was just gonna be stuck in there forever.
I feel like that's not a terrible place to die. Actually, it's pretty bad if other people are in and out, because then people are just pooping around you and you're, like, dying.
Well, it was, like, a single stall, like, private bathroom.
Okay, yeah, then
so
no, that's fine.
That was okay.
Do you think that's how Poe actually died?
No, he was, but like, there's, I think it was George III who did actually die on the toilet.
Yeah, so did Elvis.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of drug addicts die on the toilet.
Maybe we should do a whole episode about people who've died on the toilet.
Oh, yeah. Would you guys be interested in that? if yes, let us know.
If yes, hit us up on social media, because Hope is dope and is in charge of that now.
Yeah, she's social media manager now. She's Mr. Manager, so, yeah.
She wears the pants in the podcast now.
She does. The collective pants. Georgia and I are both wearing skirts, but Hope...
I am not wearing any pants, so thank you.
Hope is wearing a nice business, like, pant. Like, just one.
Power
like,
suit?
Yeah, power suit, but, like...
Hillary Clinton style?
Just the pants. I don't know. She does not look like a space lesbian as much as... Wait, no, what is it? Gay space librarian, that's
gay
it.
Gay space librarian.
Yeah, I love it. It's a mood. Like, I want to be Hillary Clinton when I grow up. Not, like, the things she's done, but, like, her fashion choices now I want to make in, like, a year. Yeah, oh, let's talk about pit burials.
Yeah, okay. So, this says that before Euro-American contact, well, before pre-contact is what we call it in the anthropology world, archaeology world.
Yes, quite.
In the archaeology world, we call it pre-contact. Before Europeans made it over to the Americas, especially the Northwest Coast. And apparently, these people were just like, hey, you're dead. Here's a giant pit that we dug behind our village. And then they just throw them in there.
Just eat some corpses.
Yeah. We throw a lot of corpses in these episodes. Somebody start counting how many times we throw corpses somewhere. Or shoot corpses somewhere. Or float corpses somewhere.
I'm going to say it's at least 7.
This wine is making me burp a lot.
It's not great.
Their flesh was left to the animals, but if it was a chief, shaman, or warrior, things were different. Just like the Maasai tribe. What? Their body was crushed until it was really small, and then they put it on top of a totem pole in front of the longhouse of the man's tribe, and this would facilitate his journey into the next world. That's cool.
I wonder, like...
And it's outlawed today because of the smell.
When did this happen? Like, what was the time range?
It says that this happened until missionaries made it to the area. So I would assume in the Northwest, let's see, I did... archaeology in the Northwest, and I did especially this area of the Northwest, I would assume probably until like the late 18th, early 19th century.
How small do you think you can like pack a body into a cube with that
this
kind of technology?
About the size of a piece of modern luggage.
What kind of luggage though?
I don't know, but I have like a carry-on. I have a carry-on case right outside the door. Let's try and put your body in it.
It's not that hard. Okay, first of all, I am very fragile. If you try to fold me into a suitcase, boy's dying. Like, that's just it. I've got paper bones, or no, I've got glass bones and paper skin. Every morning I wake up and break my arms. Every night I go to bed and break my legs.
Chocolate!
The only thing that's keeping me from crippling debt for all my medical bills is selling these chocolate bars.
Chocolate!
I was like 20.
that's one of my favorite episodes.
Georgia fell asleep watching SpongeBob last night.
Yes, I did.
And I didn't have friends until I was like 17, so instead I just memorized SpongeBob episodes. True story. That's back when I was really ugly. Now, I'm slightly ugly.
I watched SpongeBob since I was 14, thank you. Which is way too old to start watching SpongeBob, but you know.
I mean, you can't help that your life sucked.
I still have to ride the school bus, so there we go. All right. Next number.
I'll go with a solid 5. Let's cut the difference.
Okay, 4. The fire burials of Bali.
Ooh.
That's cool. Which is mostly Hindu.
Mm-hmm.
And the fire is the vehicle to the next life.
Metal?
Yeah, that's cool. I bet it's kind of like a Viking, like, fire. Maybe.
It's probably not.
Not a ship burial. Those are different, but... Let's see. There are food offerings to... assist the body, the soul, on its journey.
Yeah,
lanterns.
You can't travel to a new life if you're hungry. Sure. Gotta have snacks.
That's why I went to run errands too earlier. Snacks for a road trip.
Because you're gonna die.
Yeah, probably. Lanterns line the path of the person's hut to let them know he or she has passed, and as a reminder of their life so they're not forgotten. That's cute. And then they enter the body into a mass grave. This is interesting. Okay, so they enter the body in a mass grave with other people from the same village until they're like, oh yeah, there's enough bodies here, let's cremate them all at once. And so then they unearth them and clean them and put them on a float, and then they decorate the float with flowers. everyone in the village helps, and they parade it through the village, and then they set it on fire.
Nice.
And then they have a big feast. That sounds pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I would do that.
Just like for fun on a Tuesday.
Yeah. Okay, next number.
6.
Spirit offerings of Southeast Asia.
Ooh.
Throughout most of Southeast Asia, people are buried in the fields where they lived and worked. It is common to see large stone monuments in the middle of a pasture of cows or water buffalo. It's our washing machine.
If you guys hear a little bit of background grinding, that's a washing machine. I don't know if we're going to keep in that Georgia just said that or not, so I'm just going to reiterate it.
Cool. So in Vietnam, they leave stacks of counterfeit money under rocks so that the dead people can buy whatever they need on their journey to the afterlife.
It's fake money. It can't... Okay, so when...
But is everything in the afterlife also fake?
I guess so. It's spirit money specifically.
Is it like Monopoly money? And then you buy Monopoly houses for your Monopoly soul.
Is this, like, an outdated practice, or is this actively happening?
It doesn't say.
Because if it's outdated, that means that you're minting metal currency.
That's true.
You know what I mean? And that's a lot of work for some fake shit. At
Unless
that point,
they, like,
just...
paint on rocks or something, which
okay,
I would
that would
also
make sense. Yeah.
Not surprise me.
Yeah, like, this is worth 1 billion rupees, but, like, really, it's not.
Yeah.
I'm gonna play fucking Zelda again. Oh, damn. Anyway.
And then in Cambodia and Thailand, they build wooden spirit houses.
Mm.
And those are places where food and drink are left for the souls of the deceased relatives so that they can refuel their souls when they need to.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's kind of nice. Because
mm-hmm.
God forbid, if I'm on my afterlife journey, I'm going to want a glass of wine.
Yeah.
Or 7.
That's just you.
I always want a glass of wine. I'm going to be 31 in a month. I need all the wine I can get at this point.
George is turning old.
The offerings of both countries also ask the spirits of the relatives to watch over the lands and families left behind. That's nice. Okay, next number.
2.
Too far? Whoops.
Got him.
Sky burial in Tibet. This is how I want to be buried. This is one of my favorites. Are you ready for this?
I'm already invested, honestly. It sounds dank.
So they lay the corpse out.
Mm-hmm.
Outside, it's away from their village and everything.
Okay.
They have someone dismember the body.
Okay.
They're called a body breaker.
Oh, nice. Yeah. All right, keep going.
Yeah. And so basically they just, like, dismember the body and break it up. Then it's left outside.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Tibet, so, you know, the outs up there, altitude-wise. And then they leave the body parts out for carrion birds to strip bare. And then I think after, this doesn't say, but I think once all of the bones have been picked clean, they are collected and put in a more reserved place.
So it's just referred to as a sky burial because of the altitude and the fact that birds rip your flesh from your bones.
Yep.
Still cool.
It's one of my favorite non-Western burial practices.
This gets Sanjay's dope shit seal of approval. That's real dope, man.
Tibetan sky burial.
I don't know, man. That's just... I can't think of a much cooler way, unless it's like... No, that actually be gross. No, that'd be cool. So, alright, so we as humans are bound to the ground by nature, and, like, bone breakers, like, bust you up because, like, you're dead. You don't give a shit. Birds, like, tear your flesh into the sky. Your bones are packed into, like, a t-shirt cannon, and they just, like, shoot you off a mountain. That's the way I want to go. Put my body, this is my t-shirt cannon, this is my last resort. Like, whatever. This
is my t-shirt cannon.
Yeah, that's what I was going for. Welcome to the club. Wow. That's method number 8 on, But no, what is method number 8? Give me that new spicy number.
I'm not done with 2 yet.
I don't care anymore. I want 8.
So after China took over Tibet in the 50s, they outlawed this practice, which is kind of depressing. The worthless body provides sustenance to the birds of prey and the primary consumers of its flesh. That's nice. Because in Buddhism, the body is just an empty shell because the spirit has departed, and that's the part that matters, and it's getting ready to move on to reincarnation.
Yeah, boy, eightfold path. Fuck it up.
Number 8, skull burials of the Kiribati. This sounds cool already.
It sounds okay. It's no sky burial.
Where's Kiribati? I feel like I should know where that is.
Ooh,
Kiki, no wine for you.
It's a sovereign state in Micronesia in the central Pacific Ocean. Population just over 110,000 people.
She's bit me. Kiribati. On a tiny island, the deceased is laid out in their house for no less than 3 days and as long as 12, depending on their social status, their hierarchy within the community.
Mm-hmm.
And people make a pudding from the root of a local plant.
That's not what I thought you were going to say. Oh, I got so scared. Oh, this is about to be
people
real gross.
People pudding.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was going to be, and I didn't want that. I couldn't handle it right now. I already ate all those ibuprofen. My body's fucked up right now. I can't.
So the body is interred for a few months, and then they exhume it, and they take the skull, and they clean it up, and they offer it food and tobacco. They do that to the whole body. And then they put the rest of the body back in the ground, and they keep the skull in the shelf of their home.
Nice. I like how they offered food. Like, they're just, like, jamming a slice of pizza against the skull. Like, Mr. Skullsworth, are you a little bit hungry?
They believe that their god... Jesus Christ, cat. They believe that their god welcomes the dead person's spirit into their home. There we go.
Good job, Luna.
Next number.
1.
Mongolian air sacrifice.
I like this whole, like, above-the-ground theme we've got going on so far.
This is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. This is, one that I've been researching for a while, actually. Depending on your social status, so when you die, your family contacts the lamas. Not the Dalai Lama, but, you know, his underlings.
Yeah.
Depending on how high up in the community you were, depends on how many lamas are officiating your ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that plan the whole ritual. The lamas and your family offer food for the good spirits to help keep the bad spirits away. Okay. And they burn incense for the good spirits.
So the incense, like, keeps away bad spirits and you just have food. Because, like, if you just have food out, bad spirits are going to go there, too.
Yeah.
Unless they're like vampires, they don't like garlic. Like,
saffron. I'm having a potluck, bring whatever you want. There's always going to be those people that show up without food.
Yeah, exactly.
And then eat everyone else's food and then leave.
Dude,
those people are the worst.
That person's me. It's not this time. Not today.
So, the good spirits protect the family. They also put blue stones around the dead person to protect it from evil spirits contacting their spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And you're only allowed to touch the corpse if you're a llama. And then when it's time to move the body from your living area to the outside,
mm-hmm.
it goes through a window or a hole in the wall. They cut a hole in the wall specifically for this.
Okay.
Because they think that the evil spirits will also creep into the door while it's open. And then they take it away from the village and they lay it on the ground and then they put stones. They outline the body in stones. So it's like a chalk outline, but it's made of rock.
Yeah. A rock outline.
And then they let out hungry dogs, and it eats the corpse.
What?
Yeah. And then anyone out, like, carrion birds and other scavengers will also come and eat the body. And then they just leave it there, and the stone outline represents the spirit of the person for the family to remember, you know, like, it's always present.
I don't like that.
And if you mess up the ceremony, you're supposed to have bad karma.
But you can't unmess up a ceremony.
Yeah, I know.
So you're just, the rest of your life is just fucked because you threw a bad party once?
What if it's an innocent mistake?
Yeah.
It's not your fault some asshole didn't bring a potluck dish to your potluck.
Yeah, exactly. Or what if you don't use, like, the right kind of bricks or something?
Yeah. Or the wrong shade of blue rocks.
I don't think that's very fair.
Alright, next number.
10.
You're gonna start forgetting what numbers you're
talking about. I have already forgotten, honestly, and I'm just getting really lucky.
Ocean burial! Cool!
Wait, did you say ocean burial or oh shit, comma, burial?
Like, ocean.
Oh.
Oh shit, burial!
Yeah. Like, burial's the name of the person.
Ocean burial. Since most of our planet is covered with water, burial at sea has long been an accepted norm for mariners the world over. I grew up in a seaside town, so this is totally my jam. By international law, the captain of any ship has the authority to conduct an official burial service at sea.
Why?
But also conduct weddings at sea.
No, I already knew you could do that. And why? Like, you just own a boat. I have a fucking car. No one's walking up to me like, can you perform this wedding ceremony? Which I can do because I'm an ordained minister, but they wouldn't know that. Just because I have a vehicle doesn't mean I'm qualified.
I want to be an ordained minister.
It's very easy.
I know. I should hop online and do that.
My legal name is Reverend Sanjay Baker. It's pretty sick.
My best friend from high school, the one that had the Star Wars wedding, mm-hmm. her brother got ordained specifically for the ceremony where you could pick your mm-hmm. title, and I think he's a Jedi Master.
Nice.
Because I had the Star Wars, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I said, Star Wars wedding. The traditional burial shroud is a burlap bag.
Yeah, this is already right up my alley.
And you get sewn inside of it, and then weighted down with heavy things to stop you from floating.
Alright, cool. So you're just getting, like, a mafia wedding.
Yep.
Or not mafia wedding, a mafia funeral. I'm still triggered by the wedding thing.
I think they're both the same thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mafia funerals, mafia weddings, someone dies either way.
Yeah, exactly.
It reminds me of Zootopia. Have you seen Zootopia?
Yeah, with the mice, yeah, okay. Yeah. Or no, they're...
Or what are they?
It starts with a V, I think. Voles?
Voles would make sense.
I don't know if that's a real thing. I could.
A vole is a thing, yeah.
Okay, I think it's that.
The
yeah.
little rodent thing.
Yeah, with like a long nose, yeah. I think.
Yeah, because like...
Thank you for listening to broadcast from the rodent cast. This is episode 8.
If available, the flag of their nation covers the bag while the service is conducted on the ship until it's ready to go in the ocean. And then they take the flag off and toss it into Davy Jones's locker.
Like, literally?
Yeah.
I hope that there's, like, do you know how there's, like, there's officially a Sesame Street now in New York?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Stay with me. So, there's, like, all of these non-existent places that are giving geographic locations, like, kind of as homages to, like, the pieces of art or, like, the works of art or whatever.
Yeah.
I hope that there is Davy Jones' locker somewhere. But, like, someone lives there now because it's, like, a resort or, like, some rich person bought the land. And I hope that all of these corpses are just thrown in this place. Like, you go from land, where you die, to sea, where your body is prepared, to the air, where they fly you to Davy Jones' locker, and just drop your corpse on this dude's yacht or, like, on his Porsche. And he's like, you fucking kidding me, Craig? Stop doing this! And then Craig's a skywriter in his free time, too. So he, like, writes, like, fuck you, Charles, or something, like, in the smoke.
I was just thinking of my personal most favorite episode of SpongeBob. Episode titled Shanghaied.
You're good. You're good.
Which is what I say to anybody anytime they're in a difficult, tight parking spot.
Yeah.
And also the fly of despair, just the zipper opens out of nowhere. Yeah.
The monkey fist, the monkey wrench, the monkey.
Not the perfume department. Which I love the perfume department of any department store. It's my favorite. I just go in there and smell everything.
I'm pretty sure that was a Nordstrom's. It looks like a Nordstrom's.
I believe that. All right. This says that back in the day, the British Navy said that the final stitch in the bag had to go through the dead person's lips to make sure that they were actually dead.
The last thing was to go through their lips?
Yeah, the last stitch.
So I guess that kind of makes sense. I don't know.
It says if they were still alive, having a needle pass through their skin would revive them. I don't think it would revive me. It would make me go, ow, that fucking hurts.
Yeah, like, I'm just taking a fat nap and you're trying to throw me in the ocean.
It is quite possible that sea burial has been the main form of burial across the earth since before recorded history. That's beautiful.
It's okay.
I'm a fan of sea burials.
But... it's okay.
All right, pick another number.
9.
Oof. Cave burials in Hawaii. This is where Sawney Bean is buried. Just kidding.
Who?
Sawney Bean.
I don't know who that is.
Like, guy with the cannibal family that we talked about.
Oh, yeah. Ah, no. I don't want to... Yeah, alright. We're just not going to talk about that. I'm still kind of nauseous from it.
This place is way too nice for him. Hawaii. Tropical. A traditional burial takes place in a cave, and your body is put into a fetal position, and then your, like, hands and feet are tied to make you stay that way. Mm-hmm. Which, at this point, makes me sound... At this point, it makes me think we're getting ready for a luau.
Yeah. So, I mean, we probably are. Like, for real. True.
Sometimes the internal organs are removed and the cavity filled with salt to preserve it.
Who wants that? Or actually, no, it's the same thing. I was just saying, like, I want to be formaldehyded, so I'm looking like, you know, at least half a snack when I die. I guess it's the same thing. If you just, like, hollow out your insides and fill you with salt, you'll look the same, just a little bit more raisiny.
Yep, jerky.
A little more jerkied.
Mm, I love jerky.
Mm-hmm.
The bones are considered to be sacred and are believed to have it says diving power. I'm wondering if it means divine power.
No diving power.
We are in Hawaii, so scuba diving all day. Many caves in Hawaii still contain these skeletons, particularly along the coast of Maui. I think you only have one number left. Can you figure out which one it is?
Two?
Nope.
Ah, wait, is it?
No.
Fuck. Number one, seven?
Nope. Seven was the first one we did.
Six.
Nope.
We did seven, five.
7, 3, 5.
Is it four?
It is four.
Oh, it's my lucky number. Not today, obviously, but in general.
I'm liking that we're saving the best one of this list for last, because it's a Viking burial.
Yeah.
And I don't really think we've talked about it much on the podcast, but Vikings are kind of my jam and what I will be going to grad school to study, so...
I am a huge fan of the scene in Thor Ragnarok when Thor's on the bridge and that song plays that apparently was not written for Thor Ragnarok, but I thought it was because I don't listen to whatever band wrote it. I don't know, the one that's like,
Oh my god. That song has been around for a really long time.
I literally had never heard it before until that scene, and it, like... Thor's hammer ignited, and so did my pantaloons, dude. I was like, this scene is awesome! And he's just throwing dudes, and then there's like a huge fucking wolf or something. I don't remember. The movie was great.
A huge fucking wolf called Fenrir?
No, that wasn't Fenrir. Okay. Fenrir's a specific dude, right? Or is
Fenrir
like...
Fenrir is the bringer of Ragnarok.
Yeah, no, wasn't
like
that.
Like, when he gets unchained from his prison, that's when Ragnarok happens.
Yeah, that's not what...
No. Also, it really bothers me. I mean, yes, I understand that Marvel Thor is very different from actual Norse mythology, but it really bothers me that in that movie, her name is Hela. It bothers me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Hel.
Mm-hmm. They can't say that. It's a PG-13 movie.
It's not even spelled the same. H-E-L. That's her name. It's a name. That. That's her name.
I don't know about that.
That's her name.
My name was Dix McDick. You couldn't, like, say that in a movie.
I used to work for a guy named Dick Bixler.
You did not.
I did.
Oh, that's so cool.
His name was Dick Bixler, and I wrote patent, like, law documents for him.
Mm-hmm.
It was,
He would be a lawyer.
And we listened to Journey's Greatest Hits all the time in his office.
So old.
That was when Separate Ways Worlds Part became one of my jams.
You're so old.
This was in, like, 2010, thank you very much. It's not like I was in the 80s writing patent laws with my mullet in my permed mullet. I was 2 when the 80s ended, thank you. Nope, not even 2. I was 1 and 3 months old when the 80s ended. But I'm still very proud of the fact that I was born in the 80s.
Yeah, I was born in the 90s, but I'm actually a 90s kid, so it's fine. 80s babies, whack. 90s kids, strong.
Okay. Don't believe you. Alright, Viking burials. Do, 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 do.
This is the worst Sauvignon Blanc I've ever had. Hate it.
Where'd you put the rest of it?
My glass is over here. I'm just, like, not drinking it quickly.
No, where'd you put the bottle?
In the fridge.
Oh, okay. That's stupid.
Yeah.
Let's just bring it in here.
I'm an idiot! We just established this woman!
Vikings were interred in large graves, and they would make... So ship burials were... I'm gonna add in my own knowledge of this, just because this is what I study. Very important people within Viking culture were buried in an entire ship, in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Well, technically they built a mound over the ship. But ships were obviously a very valuable resource to the Vikings. They took a lot of time and energy to build them. They used them to conquer... Not conquer, but...
It was conquering, dude. Right? Like, they just... When you arrive at a place, you don't go to a party and just, like, hang out and then become the life of the party and leave. Without, like... Okay, if you do that, you're just, like, a guy. If you go to a party with a fucking axe, You start killing people and, like, taking people.
This is my party now.
That's conquering a party.
All right.
There's like, a range.
All right. Sure. Okay. So, normal people, because boats were such a significant part of their culture, they were buried... They would make ship outlines with rocks. There's a lot of similarities here going back and forth between cultures. Mm-hmm. They would make outlines of ships with rocks, and then that would be kind of the boundary of the grave. Mm. And then they would have their belongings and food placed with them, so weapons, jewelry, anything of significance they would take with them.
Guns.
Because they needed their weapons to be able to fight in Ragnarok.
Exactly. So,
and then, oh, this is cool, though. If the deceased was a nobleman or great warrior, his woman was passed from man to man in his tribe, who all made love to her, some would say rape, before strangling her and placing her next to the body of her man.
Whoa, that got real shitty. At first, I was like,
that's
dude,
super romantic. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know. Is it, though? I don't know. Like, if you want to hope, like, my man's dead, everybody come break off a piece. And, like, if she's into it, then, like, power to her, you know? Like, let her live her life.
Yeah.
But then you're going to strangle her? Like, there's other ways you could... She could just, like, I don't know, OD on Nightshade or something. Like, I don't know why it has to be something terrible.
Let's see what this list says. Mongolia to Sweden. This is top five from Bustle. South Africa. The windows of a house in which a death has occurred may be smeared with ash. And all the beds are removed from the dead person's room. Why? A ritual sacrifice of an animal may occur to please ancestors. And you have to wash the dust and the dirt from the graveyard off of your body before you're allowed to enter the house again. That's interesting. Hmm. Otherwise, it's bad luck. And that's a fairly new ritual in South Africa, apparently. The After Tears Party resembles an Irish wake that happens after the funeral, and it involves a lot of drinking and joking and focuses on comforting the surviving relatives and remembering the deceased with fondness. That reminds me of P.S. I Love You. Oh my god.
Never seen that movie.
It's really depressing.
Yeah. Then also, like, that practice sounds like a very southern thing. Like, my grandma passed away a couple years ago. Benny was the realist, is the realist. And because it's, like, the South, I don't know, everyone, like, brought food.
Yeah.
So then after...
That's what you do, right? You bring a casserole so everyone doesn't have to cook for...
Yeah. Yeah. Except no one in the South eats casserole because it's, like, the worst food group.
Maybe
so
that's the North.
I think it probably is. Yeah. So everyone just, like...
Like, after babies and after someone dies, you always, like, take a casserole over.
That's so weird. It's, like, as a military kid, it's spaghetti. Because when you first move into a place, spaghetti needs, like... one pot, like two pots at the most, you know?
Yeah.
And it's something that's, like, easy to store, and everyone likes spaghetti. Sure. So whenever you move somewhere new, like, when I first moved to Kansas, like, literally all of my five neighbors, wait, five, six? Three, six, like, eight neighbors, I guess, technically. No, three. Three neighbors all brought my family spaghetti for, like, 3 days straight.
But everybody, spaghetti is one of those things that everybody makes so differently.
Yeah.
So.
My spaghetti is so different from your spaghetti, dude.
Yeah.
Like, it's so different.
My spaghetti is, like, meaty. I use ground beef.
You use a lot of veggies.
I do use a lot of veggies, yeah. Mm. I like peppers.
I don't.
Peppers, mushrooms, tomatoes.
Ugh.
Yeah. Mm. Get it all in there.
I hate mushrooms. Mushrooms are gross.
What about people who make spicy spaghetti?
What's spicy? Do you mean, like, there's, like, a knife in it?
I
like,
don't.
Is that what you mean by spicy? Like, it's just, like,
I don't
engaging.
Like spicy food, but oh. Apparently... Some people in the world make their spaghetti spicy.
I have not done that.
Not okay.
Growing up, my mom makes sweet spaghetti.
I do know people who put, like, brown sugar, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just because, like, the sugar counteracts the acidity from the tomato, though, so it's, like, easier on your stomach, too.
One time, here's a fun story. My dad does not cook food, really.
He doesn't cook food. Food was in quotes, so none of you could see that, but it was...
And
George's dad kills and eats people.
Yes. Only people, not food.
Only people, not food.
And I remember when I was a kid. So, okay. Not to get into my whole family history. My dad is my stepdad. But he's my dad. It wasn't that, like, he hadn't he'd only probably lived with us for a couple years at this point, but he was one night, yeah, I'm going to make spaghetti bolognese. And he does it all from scratch, you know, makes the sauce from scratch and everything. And it was one of the first times he ever made it, and he goes, well, the recipe said, like, 4 cloves of garlic or something, so he puts what he thought was 4 cloves of garlic in there.
Mm-hmm.
He put 4 bulbs of garlic.
Are you fucking serious? That's basic. Are you kidding me? Like,
my mom said it was...
Did you not think it was weird? There's a bunch of, like, fucking flakes in there, and, like...
I love garlic, so I don't know.
Stop!
2 cloves. Maybe it was 2 bulbs. I can't remember. It was
still too much.
It was just a ridiculous amount of garlic.
I'm about to have an aneurysm. Oh, jeez.
My mom... This was, like, back in the early 90s. My mom said it was rough. Rough.
I'm about to slam my head against a nail. I'm just...
Oh, boy. In Mongolia, certain people would create high-ranking llamas and have their ashes made into monuments. What? Ooh, Iran. Iran's funerary rituals are complicated and many days long. Influenced by a strong Islamic faith, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Strict preparations for correct burial and mourning. The body is prepared by being washed 9 times and then wrapped in a white shroud tied with cords. It is considered highly holy to help carry or touch the coffin.
I don't know if, like, how much you know about world religions, but, do you know if the number 9 has, like, strong influence in the Islamic faith, out of curiosity?
I don't know off the top of my head, no.
Okay.
I know that something in... I actually figured this out when I was writing a paper about Aztec rituals, because the number 4 is really significant, and their... afterlife beliefs and in their funerary practices. Then I brought it up to my professor when I was doing my research, and he didn't know the answer. And then he contacted one of his professors who wrote the textbook that we were using.
Whoa.
And she didn't know the answer. And I'm just sitting there like, did I just find something really significant as a junior in college?
Yeah, like, what the fuck?
So, yeah, it's really cool.
Hmm.
Sweden. Between 1 and 3 weeks, woof, for a ceremony.
Mm-mm.
That's a lot. Some traditions, like the 19th century funeral candy. What's funeral candy?
I think it's when you look like a snack when you get buried, you know? Because your eye candy...
I just clicked on this link that said Swedish funeral candy. Let's find out. What? During the mid-19th century in Sweden, hard sugar candies, typically in the form of a corpse... wrapped with black crepe paper and fringes, became a popular funeral favor.
Nice.
So you got candy when you went to your funeral that looked like a dead body.
Could you personalize it? Like, I've got a beard. Can I get, like, beard candy?
They have,
candy?
Like, little things on them.
Ooh, nice.
They don't really... Oh, these ones look dope. Look at those ones.
Nice. Yeah, those are sick.
I want some of those at my funeral.
We'll link this in the show notes so you guys can check them out, too. Funeral candy, send us some.
Yeah,
or not, eat it yourself. Just
do
whatever you want.
I should save this link. The wrappers would sometimes be adorned ornately. Verses, prayers, and poems attached to the candies were also commonplace. They went from normal things like the dark, quiet abyss, all our days will end like this, to odd moralistic pep rally, death shall one day all us fetter, pray, repent, act, and make better. Consider human what you do. You never know when life is through. There once was a man from Nantucket. That's what that made me think of.
I got the same vibe, honestly.
World War I imposed sugar rations, and that's when these favors died out.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. That's sad, though.
Yeah. That's kind of cool. I want people to get candy.
I was actually talking to...
Werther's Originals all day.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Toss them out. Like it's a parade, but it's my funeral.
So, emo kids have a tendency to take pictures in graveyards and cemeteries because, you know, we gotta do what we gotta do.
Yeah,
and we were talking about talking to Molly, about putting on your tombstone what, like post-mortem, practices you would like to happen. So, please... eat ice cream on this grave at least once a week.
People go to Lovecraft's grave to have sex on it. A lot of people have sex on Lovecraft's grave.
Why?
I don't know. Because they're super horror fans and they think that's the way to do it.
Do you think there's like a line? Like if you go on like a Friday night, there's like a guy who's like, oh, whoa, it'll be about 45 minutes.
I could see that totally. Funeral strippers in Taiwan. Having a well-attended funeral in Taiwan is subject of a great concern. To attract a crowd, some families hire strippers, host dancers, and set out elaborate feasts to make people attend.
That's the kind of party I want to have. Like,
I told you I dated a guy whose dad wants fat-bottomed girls to be his funeral song.
No, you didn't tell me that.
Hanging coffins in the Philippines. These are really cool. They're just on a cliffside, kind of. Hidden high up along the mountainsides. They believed that the closer coffin was to the sky, the closer the deceased was to heaven.
Makes sense. You know, shoulder trip and all that.
Yeah, I'm 5'4", so it's always a climb for me. Do you ever have those days where you're very aware of your height all of a sudden?
Yeah.
And you never really noticed it before? Today was one of those days for me, and I felt very minuscule walking into a grocery store tonight, and it was very awkward. People dress the dead in their finest clothes, sit them in a chair, and give them a smoke, and the dead sit smoking for several weeks. That's also in the Philippines. Look at this. Is this a cod piece? Look at this.
I think that's a cod piece. Yikes.
That is what I call a package.
Gotta make sure your peep is protected from those ghosts.
Royal members of the Han Dynasty were buried in ceremonial suits of jade with massive cod pieces. Massive jade cod pieces. Memento mori of Victorian England. Hells yeah.
Wow, I've never heard the phrase memento mori before.
Yeah, I'm not gonna get it tattooed on me. Well, I have some wrap-up questions then, when you're ready.
Okay. Alright, I just had a small cat break. What's good?
She's not a small cat.
That's true.
Lemon is a small cat.
She weighs a pound. One of my cats weighs less than a dozen eggs.
So cute.
Yeah, she's so adorable. I wonder how many eggs she weighs. You ever think about how many eggs something weighs?
I don't want to know how many eggs I weigh.
It'd be a fair amount of eggs.
Are you coming down here? Because we're talking about you? Have you seen some of the new ways you can have your body disposed of?
Yeah, I saw that you could have your body pressed into Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge by MCR, and that shit goes hard. Oof. I want that.
I would definitely... Oh, yeah. As long as Gerard Way autographed it.
Oh, yeah.
Therefore autographed me. I mean, I already have his autograph, but like...
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
Explain?
It was just after a concert when I was 17.
Are you fucking serious?
It was 2005.
We'll talk about this later, but holy shit.
Yeah, I have a bunch of autographs. You want to see my autograph? I'll get my concert tickets out after this and I'll show you.
But yeah, there's that. You can have your body turned into a tree. Like, they just cremate you. And yeah, they put you in a pot with a tree seed. So like, your body is the initial. Technically, this isn't how this works. But you're supposed to be the first, like, fuel for the tree. But technically, like, all plants have all the fuel they need. You don't fucking need it. Like, they have everything they need in the seed itself. Like, that's the whole point. Yeah, exactly. Like, otherwise, the plants wouldn't exist. Anyway, I can't think of any other super cool ways I've heard recently.
I've heard you were supposed to be able to get your ashes kind of compressed into basically a diamond. But, of course, it's not a diamond because... I mean, the carbon within your body would technically maybe, I don't know.
Well, like, we're carbon-based life forms, but we're not, like, soul, not life forms.
We're not,
made like completely of carbon. Yeah.
There's being shot into space, like, having your, dude. I don't know if it's your ashes or your whole body, or if it depends on what you want, but, or I think you can get your ashes put into, like, fireworks and have those shot up into the atmosphere and just explode in fireworks, or you can just literally have your body shot into space.
I want my body yeeted into space, like ragdoll, just like flopping. Yeah. Like, once again, Yakety Sax playing. I've talked about this before, but it was a meme from like 2012, where it's like, in short, go to all your friends and family go into a room for your funeral, open your casket, it's empty, Yakety Sax starts playing, your corpse is tied to a fan, and Yakety Sax is just like, playing, like, and like, you're just flopping around. I want that, but like, on my way to space.
Did I tell you my joke about the gynecologist's funeral?
No.
So there's a funeral happening. It starts out at a cardiologist's funeral. And this big heart opens up, and this casket goes back into it, and everybody's crying. And, mm-hmm. And then there's just one dude sitting there, laughing his ass off. And everyone is like, "What's so funny, dude? It's a funeral." And he goes, "Oh, I'm a gynecologist. I'm just thinking about my own funeral." I don't know where I heard that joke. I heard that joke before I was old enough to understand what was happening, but,
Nice. I like it.
I think, compared to some of these ways, it's super lame, but my parents, one day, I was trying to move. Mm-hmm. It was, like, a stressful enough day as it was.
Yeah.
It was when I lived in Washington, and I had just gotten done in my internship at Mount Rainier, and my boyfriend and I at the time were moving to a different house, and we had just found out that my car had been broken into.
Whoa.
So I had a giant suitcase in there that was full of everything that I just brought back from the mountain with me.
Yeah.
It had jewelry and, like, my tablet and school notes and, like, all my field clothes and all kinds of stuff in it. Nothing valuable to anyone. Well, some of the jewelry and, like, my tablet maybe, but nothing was, like, most of the stuff in there had more sentimental value than actual monetary value.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm freaking out. My car's been broken into. We're trying to move into this new house. And my mom just calls me, and she is like, "Well, me and your dad just got done talking, and we know what we want to do with our bodies when we die." And I was like, do I need to know this right now? What is happening? I'm already stressed out enough. And she's like, "Just save us. Just get one of us cremated, and then when the other one goes, you can get the other one of us cremated, and then we want our ashes spread together on the beach, on the Fleetwood Beach," which is, like, where I grew up. And I was like, okay.
That's beautiful. But can you also imagine, like, some spring break or summer vacation, and you and your British friends are hanging out, doing British stuff on the beach, tea, crumpets, the whole nine yards, and you jump up to high five to celebrate this,
this thing.
And this mouthful of ash. And you're like, what's your mom's name?
Charlie.
He's like, that tastes like Charlie, dude. Maybe that's why. Your mom seems like really, really cool. I feel like it would be on brand if she's just like, yeah, that was why.
Yep. Just wanted to fuck someone's day up.
Yeah. Shout out to Charlie. She's really cool.
I think that... there's hair in my mouth.
Now imagine that, but on a beach with your best friends in the middle of a British summer.
But it's all burnt.
It's all burnt, all crispy.
Kat, why are you mean mugging me right now?
She's just being round.
Girl lies.
She just twitched her cheeks. It was adorable.
I think she, like, hiccuped or burped a little bit or something.
She farted.
I study death, for the most part. Yeah, I love the Vikings, and that's what I'm going to grad school for, but, like, in my free time, part of the reason we started this podcast, I study death all the time in all of its various ways, shapes, and forms.
Mm-hmm.
Paranormal shit, true crime shit, weird shit, anthropology shit, archaeology shit, all the areas.
Dead. I just play a lot of video games where people die.
Dead.
I need batteries. Anyway.
For your vibrator.
Yes.
And
no kink shaming on this podcast.
We are accepting of all people.
It's true. Kink Shame Cast 2019 is a different cast, not this one.
So I contemplated death a lot as a youth. I don't, even when I was like 8 years old, I would just lay in bed being like, what is it like to die? Which I think is kind of fucked up for an 8-year-old.
It's like pretty fucked up, dude. Like, I'm not gonna... No, that's just weird.
And, like, I would... Not that I was suicidal, but I would just think about what would happen if I jumped out of my bedroom window from the second floor. You know, like, whatever.
What year was this?
In the mid-90s.
Okay, keep going.
So I've thought about death a lot. I've put a lot of thought into what I would want to happen to my body. I think it depends. Sky Barrel would be cool as fuck. Don't get me wrong. But, realistically, I think that what I'm going to end up doing is putting a couple $1,000s, a few $1,000s away in a little fund. And if I have kids, I'll leave it to them. If I don't have kids, I'll leave it to,
like, me.
Someone.
It's me. Dibs. None of you fuckers get it.
And I will say, burn my body. And then you go. Did you ever watch, like, what is that fucking movie? Elizabethtown? Is that, like, where he goes and, like.
Downton Abbey?
No. I'm taking my mom to see that movie for her birthday, though. Just go on a road trip with my ashes. Or it'd be more than a road trip, honestly. Because, like, here are all the places in my life that were significant to me. Go to all of them and just at each place, like, scatter some of my ashes. It's like Mount Rainier would be one of them. Honestly, probably the Kanza would be one of them, because I've done the significant amount of my personal growth here in Manhattan. The beach where I grew up in England would be one of them. You know, just like wherever I, all these places that were significant to me throughout my life, I would just be like, go to all of them, have a road trip, get on an airplane, get drunk, here's money to do all of it. Just,
that's really cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
I think that's what I would want to do.
Like, in life, I was a pretty lazy piece of shit. So in death, I hope that, like, nobody is, like, inspired by my life. You know, like, what you just said is inspiring. And it's, like, driven. Just, like, eat a pizza. Because here's a 20. Like, you just... No, that's not true, though. I haven't, like, thought that much about, what I want to do with my bod when I die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shot into a rocket, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, I did decide already. I
rocket
want
man.
My, yeah, I want,
be Elton John.
I want you to throw my body outside, let my spirit will feed future generations, my flesh will feed the birds, my body will feed space exploration, as my, it's just rocketed into space. Yakety Sax playing the whole time. I want a Bose speaker playing Yakety Sax. Yeah. I wonder how far Bluetooth goes. Like, up. Probably not that far.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. You can do a lot of things with a dead body, man.
Don't say that. You're on a government watch list now.
I mean...
Not one phrase.
Donating your body to science? We're gonna do an episode on the body farm at some point, but that is one of the coolest things I think you could do with your body. I think that if there weren't a wait list to donate your body to the body farm, I would think more about it.
Thank you for listening to Broadcast from the Belfry, a podcast for the morbidly curious. If you enjoyed or hated... sorry, I gotta cough so bad. If you enjoyed or hated what you heard today or the other 7 episodes we put out so far, feel free to search us, Broadcast from the Belfry, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Yelp, Delta Sky Miles reviews, and leave us a review. It helps us out tremendously, or it is to our detriment tremendously if you hate our guts and rate us that way. But I respect the honesty, you know, because that's all we can really expect from one each other's honesty.
It's getting deep here, Jesus. Are we in a relationship now?
I forgot what I say after this, honestly.
I say, thanks for listening and stay spooky.
Sluts.
There you go. Hey, Billy. I'm on you.